We look forward to seeing you at 2 Days of Truth being presented by Beyond Labels. It's our fourth annual 2 Days of Truth Summit. This year's theme is Detox is for Everybody. We're bombarded by everything from chemtrails to EMFs to pesticides, herbicides, even toxic people. We're going to deal with all of these aspects at the 2 Days of Truth Summit coming up. Sina, give us the final information.
I'm really excited about this summit. I think this is going to be our best one yet. It's June 14th and 15th at Polyphase Farm. We have some fantastic speakers like Sayer G, the founder of Green Med Info, Dr. Leland Stillman, who's been featured by Wise Traditions lately, Hilda Labrador, affectionately known as Holistic Hilda, you and me, of course. We also have, for the first time ever, a kids and teens program. So now the adults can enjoy the adult side while they know that their kids and their teens are having fun while also being educated by Joel, myself, and Hilda. It's going to be a blast. And this year, what we're going to do is we're going to actually teach you ancient and modern techniques for how to detoxify the body, mind, and spirit. And we're going to help you put together a personalized plan, like an action plan that you can take home and start. As soon as you arrive home, you can implement this action plan and start your detoxing.
You know, listen, folks, Polyphase is only 8 hours from half of the U.S. population. Take a long weekend, come join us, and you'll rub shoulders with other like-minded people, find our tribe, and be encouraged. It's a lonely place out there lots of times, especially if you're a bit of a maverick. So come and spend time with other mavericks and get encouraged, inspired, and enthused about living a more healthy life.
So I love the topic for this year, detoxification. It is one of the most important topics that we could ever address at our health summit. Because as Joel mentioned, everyone, every single person needs to know how to detoxify their body, mind, and spirit in order to achieve optimal health and wellness. Hi, welcome to Beyond Labels. I'm Dr. Sina McCullough, and I'm here with our favorite farmer, Joel Salatin. Today, we have a very special and lively topic for you. Joel is going to talk about a farm topic that is really hot right now in the news. It's about the rising beef prices and the low cattle numbers. They are the lowest since before 1950. So Joel, can you walk us through this?
Yeah, Sina, and I'm really tickled to bring this topic to our folks because what they're hearing in the mainstream media is definitely, it's not being helpful. It is fueling the victimization idea. And, you know, if there's one thing that I promote, I actually believe that we can, whatever, you know, participate with nature, with ecology, as stewards, as caretakers, and actually leverage and imbue nature with more abundance than it would have otherwise. And so this cattle thing has come out, and it's interesting how the different news programs have played it. Basically, they've had ranchers on that, that some of them blame the drought. Interestingly, just a week ago, I came within a hair's breadth of being on one of the top conservative news programs, and I didn't make the cut because I wasn't willing to blame Biden. So you know, so everybody has a blame. Some of them are blaming the drought. Some the conservatives tend to blame imports, fake meat, bugs, all sorts of things. Biden, you know, that Biden won't help the farmer, you know, forgive loans and pay mortgages and blah, blah, blah. And I haven't heard anybody anywhere actually hit it head on and say, what can we learn from this and how can we respond to it? Instead of just, you know, crawling in our corner and whimpering and complaining about it from either liberal or conservative, you know, branches. And so the thing is, the cattle numbers are extremely low. Prices in the supermarket have risen 10% in the last just about 6 weeks. They're escalating and plan to go higher. We have fewer cattle in America than we've had since 1950. Trust me, it is not. here are some of the things that are being blamed for. You know, it's John Kerry. John Kerry's out here saying, you know, burps and farts are, you know, bad. But listen, trust me, there is not a rancher or farmer in the country that goes out and looks at his cows and cow herd and says, you know, John Kerry says these guys are going to kill us all. I think I better drop my herd by 20% so that, you know, there's a planet for my grandchildren to live on. I don't know a farmer or rancher that even believes John Kerry. Okay. So it's not that. It's not imports. Some of you may know that Biden just kind of opened the door for Paraguay to start exporting beef to the U.S. And the problem is that Paraguay has some disease issues. And so the ranching community is paranoid that they're going to bring foot and hoof and mouth and different things. But that door hasn't really completely opened yet. And even if it were open and we were being flooded with cheap imports, well, the prices would be going down, you know, but they're not going down. Some people say, well, it's all this cell culture. It's just, you know, fake meat, cell culture, Impossible Burger, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's not that, because if it were, we'd see that all over the place. And the fact is, all those, you know, those cell cultured companies, we've talked about them, seeing it, you know, on the program here, practically, from a scientific standpoint, they can't make it work. They can't make a bioreactor bigger than a 5-gallon bucket even function, because it's really hard to duplicate blood vessels and hearts and livers and kidneys and digestive tracts, you know, with bubbles and mechanical filters. And so they just haven't been able to make it work. And we're seeing all those companies go bankrupt now. It's just not happening. Bugs. They say, oh, because we're going to eat crickets, all this stuff. Well, there again, you know, nobody, again, that's not taking over the market. You know, you're not seeing that in the marketplace. So the truth is, we just need to fess up. There's no bogeyman here. There's as much as you want to blame somebody, there's no bogeyman. It's just the drought. We've had this unprecedented drought from basically, you know, from California all the way over to Georgia, the southern tier of the U.S., here for the last 2 years. In fact, last fall of 22 in October, I was in Mississippi, and I met farmers there who are losing cows. You're not going to like this, Cena, because I know how you like animals. I don't like it either, but they're losing cows stepping in the soil has opened up so wide in their fields from the cracks, from the drought, that the cracks are big enough. Cows are stepping in the cracks and breaking their legs. And then they have to put the cow down. So this has never happened before. I mean, this is like worse than Dust Bowl. Okay. And now, you know, in the last, whatever, 10 days, we're having all these wildfires in Texas here. It's spring in Texas. And so we got all this spring and suddenly already one-third of Texas's spring grass has burned up again now with fire, not drought, but fire. And so the question I want to bring to a news program, if they'll have me on, is let's appreciate that it is drought. Droughts happen in various stages of severity. I mean, on our farm here in Virginia, we can pretty much count on a drought 4 out of 5 years of various, you know, amount. Sometimes they're in the spring, sometimes they're in the fall, but generally at some point in the year, we'll have a drought that is significant, 4 out of 5 years. Well, that's routine enough to say, well, what can we do to mitigate drought? You know, can we mitigate this thing? And so I have a kind of a three-part recipe, a regimen, a ingredient list, if you will. All right. What can we do? And this is what I would like some platform to share. And you guys can share this as you hear this, but it's elementary, but it's basic. It's basic ecology. So the first thing is ponds. All right. Again, it sounds silly. Ponds? Yeah, ponds. 500 years ago, North America was 8% covered in water. Today, we're less than 4%. And that's with all the, you know, dams and TVA and Lake Mead and Shasta and all these man-made lakes. We're still at less than half of what the beavers did 500 years ago. Now, when you have a landscape that is 8% water, you have a tremendous amount of what's called base flow. So springs and aquifers, water percolates. It percolates through. It's a pretty amazing thing, this whole, you know, I don't want to bore you with the, I'll tell you what. My favorite water story was we had a drought. This is years back. We had a drought, serious drought. And in one night, we got 3 inches of rain in one night. Well, we've got these ponds. We've built ponds up in the mountain here behind the, on the farm. And we've built more than 20 ponds actually here. And so I jump on a four-wheeler and I go running up to see water going in the pond. And nothing. We had 3 inches of rain in one night. I mean, I had the gauge out in the back porch. 3 inches of rain one night. There wasn't a drop of water up there. And I thought, good grief, what in the world? And I went up the next day, no water. Next day, no water. The morning of the third day, Cena, water's running. Water's running in the deep mountain ravines. You know, it took 3 days for that 3 inches of rain to percolate down into the base flow that created that springs and wet spots could come out. That's how when you just can imagine those little drops of water and they're moving sideways and down, or they don't go up, but they're dancing through that substrata of soil and rocks, and then substrata and encountering friends and neighbors, collecting, okay, into these little trickles, and those trickles become little squirts and spurts, and they gradually coalesce down in there, 20 feet below the ground, 50 feet below the ground, and they finally then start expressing themselves in springs and things like that. So what I'm getting at is, I mean, it's truly a fantasy land. It's like magic.
I was just gonna say, listening to you, that's a children's book right there. Yeah. Like, that's the most fascinating, beautiful description I've ever heard. I mean, learning about waterways is somewhat boring to me, but that was actually fascinating. And I was actually seeing them meet each other and going through all these different levels and becoming purified, right? Yes. Clean and structured. And I thought, wow, I'm going to have my kids listen to that one little segment of you talking on this podcast today. That's beautiful. You should write a book about that.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'll put that in a bag of tricks. Yeah. So, but it truly is, you know, we don't think, you know, we open a faucet and we just don't think about water like that, you know, but when you start actually thinking, how does this hydrology work? How does that water cycle work? It truly is. It's just, it's overwhelming almost, you know, it just can overwhelm you to tears, even to how magnificent and almost mysterious it is as water seeks its little crevice and its little, I got a pocket here I can go to, and I got a pocket there, and it starts to fill these little cavities. And that 3 inch rain took 3 days to finally get to where it could express itself at these ravine surface points, okay, and then come into a little trickle and start filling our pond. And so my point is that ponds truly do fundamentally change the hydrology of a landscape.
Thank you for joining us on Beyond Labels. Our mission with this podcast is to make it accessible to everyone.
But we are behind a paywall because the issues we discuss are often subject to censorship. We've run into that, and so we have an extremely modest paywall to let us have the freedom to discuss the kind of issues we want to discuss in the way we want to discuss them. And you can become a member and enjoy all this content by clicking on the description box below. We look forward to having you join our family.